A Daily Dose of Luther is Good for the Soul. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for October is a new devotional resource, Day by Day with Martin Luther. You can find out more at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040, 800-325-3040. Day by Day with Martin Luther costs $12.99 plus shipping and handling. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for October, Day by Day with Martin Luther. There are sayings that go around the church. You'll see them in social media. The most popular ones seem to have something in common very often. They, at first glance, they sound very profound, like they reflect some kind of deep thinking or serious insight into something Christian. But then on further examination, sometimes not much further examination, they just turn out to be dumb. Have you heard the one, preach the gospel at all times, if necessary, use words? And at first glance, it sounds like one of those profound sayings. It is an evangelical cliche. We're going to be responding to it with Pastor Brian Wolfmiller. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Pastor Brian Wolfmiller joins us for our regular conversation on responding to evangelical cliches today. Preach the gospel at all times, if necessary, use words. He's pastor of Hope Lutheran Church in Aurora, Colorado, and co-host of a weekly radio talk show called Table Talk Radio. He's editor of Around the Word Devotions. Brian, welcome back.
Thank you.
What makes this one so popular?
Well, I think probably there's an irony in this one, because you kind of have two competing evangelical cliches here. There is the understanding in the evangelical world that the most important good work that we could possibly manage to do is to tell the world about Jesus. I mean, you see all these things like the four spiritual laws, where you go through this thing and give your life to Jesus, and then what does it say? What you're supposed to do? You're supposed to read your Bible every day, go to church, and tell the world about Jesus. That is the chief good work for the evangelical, is telling the world about Jesus, which puts a lot of pressure on people. I mean, it's a fantastic burden, and really it's a unbiblical burden, and we can maybe talk about that a little bit more. But so you have this kind of kicking against this pressure to always be evangelizing the entire world. And then this comes along, which probably found its roots in the liberal church, and it comes along, and the evangelicals hear it and say, oh, that sounds really good. That really takes the pressure off. At least I think it does right at first take the pressure off. Preach the gospel at all times. If necessary, use words, which means, well, good, I don't have to say anything.
Okay. It is attributed often, and this kind of is lending to its apocryphal nature, it's attributed to St. Francis of Assisi. Did he ever say such a thing?
No, this is an apocryphal sort of thing. There's no evidence that I have ever seen, and I've seen people try to track it down too. There's no evidence that this comes from St. Francis. But the thing is, it could arise out of the mystical tradition of the medieval church. It fits in there because you have this idea, and really what the theological idea is that you can have a wordless gospel. That's really what's underneath this cliche, is that I can somehow communicate or express or be the gospel without actually saying anything. And it's a lot like this ridiculous thing that's quickly becoming a cliche that you hear nowadays, where people talk about being the church. I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, it's absolutely meaningless sort of thing to say. And this is a similar sort of meaningless thing. We have to be the gospel. Well, the gospel is not something to be beed. The gospel, what it means is a promise. I mean, it's a word. You learn in catechism, what does the word gospel mean? Well, it means good news. Well, it has to be a report of something. And if there's no words, there's nothing reported. I mean, you can imagine a messenger, in the ancient world. I was reading the other day in 1 Samuel, and there's these two messengers that were running to give the news to King David. And you can imagine that these guys, they just run. They'd run 40 miles through the wilderness to give the news to the king, and then they show up, and the king says, well, what is it? And the messenger gives him a hug. He starts flailing around. You know, he says, "Speak, man, speak. We want a message here. We want to know what the news is." Well, that's the kind of ridiculous live out the gospel or live out the gospel, and if necessary, use words. It's just really ridiculous.
Well, let's make it clear here. There's only one person who has ever lived the gospel, right, Brian?
Well, yeah, you know, we're talking about Jesus and his death on the cross, of course, but remember how Luther says this, even, that if we didn't have the Holy Spirit preaching to us in the Word, then the death of Jesus would not avail us one bit. It would benefit us none, nothing. So that the work that Jesus does for us on the cross has to be delivered to us in the promise. I mean, when I was starting to cut my theological teeth, I suppose, and we were in a class, and someone said, someone asked, "Well, what is the gospel?" And the person teaching says, "The gospel is Jesus." Well, no, not yet. The gospel is the promise of the forgiveness of sins that Jesus won for us on the cross. And if we don't have that understanding that the gospel is a promise, And a promise is a word, it's a message. If the gospel is not a promise, then we don't yet have it. We don't yet, because it's through that promise that the Holy Spirit is present creating faith. And if you take that away, you take away the word of the cross, you take away the word of promise, then you've taken away everything good that Jesus won for us on the cross.
Now, I think part of the unstated assumption behind a cliche like "preach the gospel at all times, use words if necessary," is another cliche that isn't particularly Christian. That's "actions speak louder than words," which sometimes is true and sometimes isn't. Actions can speak louder than words when they contradict words, but if there's no contradiction between action and words, words work pretty well. In fact, words are kind of necessary all the time.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And words really... We fall into this trap of thinking that words are descriptive mostly, and I suppose that our words mostly are descriptive. But even in our human life, we can have examples of times where words are actually powerful and creative and mean things. So I mean, so you know, we had this this guy that shot up the movie theater, and his court case was going on forever, and it just ended this summer. And so two things happened on the day that it ended. The judge the jury read their findings, and they said he is guilty. Now that word, when the jury speaks it, is in fact it's making something happen. The person who was innocent until proven guilty has now been proven guilty, and that declaration that he's guilty makes him a criminal. You know. It is actually a word. Now, there was a lot of reporters that were in there, and they heard that word, and they came out and they reported this guy is guilty. Now, their words were descriptive, but the word of the jury, the word of the judge, was actually effective. And we forget that this is that words have this strength and power. And if our human words can do this thing, how much more God's word? So the scriptures will constantly be saying that God's word is effective. God's word is powerful. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, says Paul, because it's the power of God for those who believe. Or even later in Romans chapter 10, where Paul says faith comes through hearing, and hearing the word of God. So that it's God's word itself that's delivering to us the forgiveness of sins, and even creating and sustaining faith.
Then here's another observation that I have kind of helps frame our analysis of this cliche about preaching the gospel and using words if necessary. I have observed, and it's been proven true, sadly, many, many times. Often in evangelicalism, those who have the next big thing about how we should preach the gospel more, church growth advocates, seeker-driven advocates, all that kind of stuff, they're here to tell us that we're not preaching the gospel enough. If you actually go to the churches, they preach the gospel less rather than more. They have a lot of things to say. Their sermons last for an hour. But the actual preaching of the forgiveness of sins for on account of Christ's death and resurrection for sinners is sometimes missing entirely. And these are the guys who are supposed to be teaching the rest of us how to preach the gospel more. What are your thoughts there?
Yeah, it's an amazing thing. I mean, there's a disease that goes around in preaching. And it's this kind of preaching about the gospel, but it's even worse when what you're talking about is that you'll get these guys that'll sit there and they'll talk eloquently, perhaps, for hours on end about how we need to get out there and spread the gospel. We got to get out there and share the gospel. We got to get out there and speak the gospel or embody the gospel or live the gospel. But they never, ever get around to doing it themselves. I mean, you just want to stand up in church and say, hey, why don't you do what you're saying we should do and preach the gospel? For heaven's sakes. But there's so many pastors that are tempted, and these big mega church leaders are really have this temptation that they've mostly fallen for. They're so tempted to tell everybody else that they got to be out there preaching the gospel that they never manage to get around to actually preaching the gospel once, forgiving sins once. It never even it comes close to happening. And that is replacing the gospel with the law about the gospel, the law about sharing the gospel, and that's no gospel at all.
Pastor Brian Wolfmiller is our guest. We're responding to the evangelical cliche, preach the gospel at all times, if necessary, use words. It's Tuesday afternoon, October the 13th. He's pastor of Hope Lutheran Church in Aurora, Colorado, editor of Around the Word Devotions. We'll be right back.
LutheranReformation.org is the brand new one-stop shop for all things Reformation. It's your source for news, events, history, videos, activities, educational resources, and much, much more. New resources will be added regularly, each one designed to help you celebrate and remember the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. Because Reformation 2017 is still all about Jesus. Visit LutheranReformation.org today. LutheranReformation.org.
Have you been too busy to get your associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree? Concordia University, Wisconsin offers 50 online educational options. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Click the Concordia University online logo and enter the program code ISSUES to waive your application fee. Concordia University, Wisconsin is here to strengthen and support the church. Lifelong Lutheran Learning. issuesetc.org and click Concordia University, Wisconsin online.
Talk radio for recovering evangelicals. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Grace Lutheran, Tulsa, Oklahoma, Heritage Lutheran, Valparaiso, Indiana, Mount Olive Lutheran, Duluth, Minnesota, Our Savior's Lutheran, Windham, Minnesota, St. John's Lutheran, Algoma, Wisconsin, Our Savior Lutheran, Ridgecrest, California, St. Mary's Lutheran, Des Moines, Iowa, St. John Lutheran, Yuma, Colorado, Christ Lutheran, Kansas City, Missouri, and Redeemer Lutheran, Lincoln, Nebraska. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support, the Issues Etc. 300. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're responding to the evangelical cliche, preach the gospel at all times, if necessary, use words. Pastor Brian Wolfmiller is our guest. Brian, you mentioned before that there's this idea of a wordless gospel. I want to explore that a little bit more because it'll go hand in hand with a question in a few minutes on a false dichotomy that's being created here, or at least reinforced here. But this idea that somehow the gospel, which is, as you said before, the explicit promise of the forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation for the sake of Christ's death and resurrection, that that can somehow be conveyed wordlessly. And I'm not talking about chancel drama or something like that, but by being a nice guy, helping old ladies across the street, helping out at the soup kitchen. Is that what we're talking about here?
Yeah, that's exactly what we're talking about. And it fits right into this kind of liberal slide that the American evangelical church is on. It seems to me that you know, as the evangelical church transformed from the fundamentalist church to the evangelical church, and now it's transforming again, and it has all of these pushes from the emergent church, from the all these kind of liberalizing tendencies to continue to de-emphasize the idea of truth and emphasize the idea of love, and to set those two against each other, that this is going to fit right in to this slide that the evangelical church is on. So the idea is, I go out there and I love my neighbor, and that somehow is a preaching of the gospel. And this is simply a confusion of law and gospel. It's a confusion of repentance and the fruits of repentance. It's a confusion of justification and sanctification. It's a confusion of faith and love. At the root, it's a confusion of law and gospel. And it is it's the idea that my love somehow can convey the love of Christ. And that is simply not true. Now, we're called to love our neighbor for the sake of Christ, and we're called to suffer in this world because Christ suffered for us, the just for the unjust. We're called to do these things, but that is different than preach the gospel to every creature, to make disciples by baptizing and teaching. Whenever Jesus sends his church out, he sends the church out to love and to suffer and to preach. And we better be doing all three of those things. I mean, we cannot conflate one with the other.
Does it, in effect, this cliche, turn the good news into what I do rather than what Jesus has done?
Well, yeah, exactly. It tries to. But the point of that is that what I do, my love and service to the neighbor, can never approach what Christ has done. You can't even get close. I mean, Jesus is the very Son of God, perfect and holy, without sin. He should suffer nothing. He should live forever on his own. He has all authority in heaven and on earth, and yet he humbles himself. When I serve my neighbor, it might be a humbling sort of thing, but Jesus humbled himself all the way from the highest height to the lowest depth, from the perfect fellowship with the Father to being forsaken by God as Father. I mean, I can never approach that kind of humility for my neighbor. I mean, maybe the smallest little bit by getting my hands dirty to help the person in need, but it's nothing compared to what Christ has done. And to equate the two is really approaching blasphemy. To say that my love for my neighbor can somehow be equated to or be an expression of Jesus' love for me is really quite dangerous. And really quite presumptuous.
It goes with one of those cliches, and maybe we should save it for another time, which is, you know, you are the only Jesus your neighbor will ever meet or something like that, that we're kind of like, I don't know, walking around with Jesus masks on, showing people by our actions how great Jesus is. But, you know, that we are little Jesuses, not in the sense of serving our neighbor, but actually in terms of saving our neighbor. What do you think there, Brian?
Yeah, that's right. And it steals away the glory that Jesus had in all this thing. We talked about this a couple weeks ago, how every false doctrine is going to steal away glory from Jesus and comfort from the sinner, and that's what this is doing. It's stealing away the glory of being the Savior from Jesus and taking it for ourselves, and that's a dangerous spot. But, you know, you can see what drives it a little bit is this desire, let's be honest, it's hard to speak about Jesus and to talk about the scriptures with strangers especially, but even with friends or even with our family. And so there's this pressure that the evangelical feels to preach these things, but then someone can come along with this cliche, oh yeah, preach the gospel at all times, but if necessary, use words. And now I can unburden my conscience by saying, well, at least I loved them. You know, I gave that guy a couple bucks, so that counts as preaching the gospel, right? But that's a false comfort that is completely unnecessary because the doctrine of vocation tells us how we're to interact with our neighbor and when and how we're supposed to tell them about Jesus. And that's really where some true comfort is to be found.
So really what we're talking about here is a profound misunderstanding of what the gospel actually is. Your final thoughts with about 30 seconds.
Yeah, absolutely. The gospel is not a wordless thing. It's very, very specifically a word. And it is the specific word that Christ has died for you. Now, this is, again, it's not just a report of something, but it's a powerful word. And I think that as Christians, if we could recover this understanding that when we speak to the world of the death of Jesus, that the Holy Spirit is, in fact, forgiving their sins, and that we look for, in our Christian freedom, we know that we're not obliged to say the gospel to everyone, the guy pumping up our gas or whatever. We have the freedom to do so if the opportunity arises. And in that freedom, we can then have joy of reporting, in fact, the good news, the promise that sins are forgiven by the death of Jesus on the cross.
Pastor Brian Wolfmiller is pastor of Hope Lutheran Church in Aurora, Colorado, co-host of a weekly radio talk show called Table Talk Radio, editor of Around the Word Devotions. You'll find a link to all these resources at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Brian, thank you for your time.
Always a pleasure.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we're going to be looking forward to Sunday morning. According to the three-year lectionary, Dr. Carl Fikencher will be our guest. We'll be discussing Jesus' teaching on rich men entering the kingdom of God. We'll also be talking with Kim Riddlebarger of the White Horse Inn about the eBible Fellowship's failed end times prediction. Remember, Chris McCann said the world was going to end, a week ago tomorrow? And it didn't. We'll see what Kim Riddlebarger thinks about that tomorrow. Stay tuned.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
When the Apostle Paul stated, "I have become all things to all men," was he talking about fitting in with the world? I've written an article in the latest Issues Etc. journal titled, "All Things to All Men." You can read it by subscribing to the online Issues Etc. journal. Just click the red subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. You can also read Pastor David Wan's story of failing to find Lutheran theology in several Lutheran churches, but finding it in Scripture and the Lutheran Confessions, the free online Issues Etc. journal.
Repentance and forgiveness, sin and grace, law and gospel, more than cliches, real preaching for real people in need of hearing the real Christ. Christ for You and the Divine Service at St. Paul Lutheran Church of Hamel, Illinois, where we gather every Saturday night at 6 and on the Lord's Day, Sunday mornings at 7:45 and 10. Look for the Church of the Neon Cross on I-55 between exits 30 and 33. Find us on the web, stpaullutheranchurchhamel.org. St. Paul Lutheran Church of Hamel, where there is the forgiveness of sins, life and salvation for the people of God.